Revelation in chapter 18. Revelation 18, we want to extend a welcome to each one that has come out this morning. May the Lord bless you. Revelation chapter 18, we'll be reading from verses 9 to the end of the chapter. Revelation 18, 9 to the end, but I want to offer a word of prayer to begin. Our God and our Father, our eyes are upon thee today. We need quickening. We need the fullness of the Spirit to complete the word of God that we might effectively give it out to thy people. We commit ourselves to your good hand. We pray for deep enlightenment. We commit ourselves to your good hand with praise and worship in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So Revelation 18, starting at verse 9. We're going to read here, right to the end. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off, for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stone and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thynine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men." I want you to notice that, souls of men. I'm going to mention something about that. "And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What city is like unto this great city?' And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her.'" The Lord will bless the reading of his precious holy word. Babylon is our focus this morning. My message will have no fillers and no roughage. I will be speaking truth as I have discovered it. This is quite a portion before it. I was scratching my head when I was reading this because there's so much. Your head is almost going like this when you read this because there's so much that I do not understand, but I'll try my very best. So whenever Babylon is mentioned in the Bible, it is always a negative thing, Babylon. It's negative. It's never positive. The physical Babylon is no more. But the quasi-spiritual mystic Babylon is still among us. Its ungodly spirit has infused every part of our society. She is described as a habitation, the prison house of unclean demons roaming throughout this inhabited earth. But we must, for the moment, go back in time and see the roots of physical ancient Babylon. There at the banks of the Euphrates River. If you look at the map, you see it right on the Euphrates River. At least that's where it was. So I perused an illustrated dictionary compiled by Stephen Miller. He says Nimrod, that warrior hero, built this city. It is one of the oldest cities on the planet. And it eventually flexed its muscles and conquered most of the Middle East to become the sprawling Babylonian Empire stretching from Iran to Egypt. Iran is always in the news today. So Babylon and Iran, like, they're almost like Siamese twins, as far as I can see here. Iran to Egypt. Nimrod was a descendant of Noah's second son, Ham. This Nimrod built a foundation of his empire in the land of Babylonia. I was working with a fellow once, and I said, "Where are you from?" He said, "I'm from Babylonia." Oh, that came to mind. He probably didn't know the spiritual aspect of it, and he seemed proud of his ancestry. So I just left it at that. Babylonia. And with Babylonia, with the cities of Babel, which is Hebrew for Babylon. So in the vicinities of Babylonia, that's where the cities of Babel were put into place, which is in Hebrew Babylon. When the city was actually built is anybody's guess. It was such a long time ago. Archaeologists say people were living in the region as early as 5000 BC, and that Babylon is mentioned by name as early as about 2200 BC. It is the first mentioned in the Bible, in Joshua 7 and 21. You remember the story of Achan. Achan was a covetous man, but it says, when Achan said to Joshua, "When I saw the spoils of goodly Babylonia, a Babylonian garment, I coveted and I took them. King Hammurabi united the region 4 centuries later and governed it with the set of laws known as Hammurabi's Code, which shares a few notable similarities to the law of Moses that came later. Yet this wannabe empire faded in and out of history depending on the ruler. It took 1,000 years for Babylon to emerge as a stable world-class power. In 612 BC, Babylon conquered the Assyrian Empire. If you know anything about the book of Daniel, you know that that took place. And that it, in turn, was conquered. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar ruled during the new empire's glory until his rule, until he ruled a 6-square-mile city of Babylon, never looked richer. Now, if you look at, I'm sure if you Google these things, you can see the old ancient Babylon with all its graphic graffitis and whatever, with double walls and the famous hanging gardens. And apparently, Nebuchadnezzar. His wife said, I need a garden, Hubby. Well, he said, okay, I'll build you one. So the hanging gardens came into being because the Euphrates River flowed right through the heart of the city, so it was able to be watered from the Euphrates River. This is the empire that wiped the Jewish nation off the map in 586 BC and enslaved many of the survivors. Notice that word, enslaved. These empire, that's all they did, is conquer another empire, and then they enslaved them. And the Jews today are descendants of this ruthless regime, and it seems to have overtaken them. It seems to be, but God will have the last word. The city that endured at least 2,000 years was deserted by AD 200, and its ruins now lie on the outskirts of Baghdad. You remember Baghdad and the Gulf War? They had a temple complex devoted to their god Marduk. You say, well, who is Marduk? Well, apparently Marduk was a supposed god of creation. He was a god of justice. They perceived him as a good god, a god of justice and thunderstorms and many other things, including compassion and healing and magic. So that's where it originated at the time. Well, this morning, our immediate concern is not with this godless ancient Babylon in its physical makeup, but with its quasi-spiritual dominating implications. Do you know that Babylon, its spirit is still with us? It surrounds us on all sides. The resurgent spirit of Babylon has recently struck at the heart of Israel. You say, how? By Islamic jihad. So now we have political Babylon. It's revisited. And ecclesiastical Babylon. That is so-called religiously related Babylon. And an aggressive global caliphate is their agenda. They want to control the world, and they do it through subtlety. Politically, but through the god of this world, spiritually infusing their ideologies into the system. And unless you know what's going on, you're going to go down into the vortex of corruption. Gentile world dominion is on the rise, and it has reared its ugly head. Apostate Christendom, the great harlot, has made its appearance also as a bedfellow with it, with Babylon. They sleep together. Papal Rome is prominent. And spineless and spiritless Protestantism has painfully affected the religious scene as we know it. The religions of the world are seeking to become confederate. They're coming together and are slowly coming together as the false church. There's a true church and the false church. The satanic church is on the rise. The true church will be caught up to meet its master in the air. Also, Its social and commercial aspects seek to completely sway all nations at will. The panic, you notice the last few months there's been a panic in the markets? The panic is seen in the abrupt decline of the markets, and evil forces are undermining God-given moral values with cheap substitutes. I don't want any cheap substitute. I want a real thing, or I don't want anything at all. That's what the world will give you, a cotton candy substitute. Not on Northern Avenue. You can get that too. Moral values are thrown down. And this false system, when it rises, will gobble people up. Babylon's godless rule now predominates. To deceive the unwary, the spirit of mystery Babylon of old has allured many from devotion to the Christ of God, though ostensibly. You know what ostensibly mean? They're deceiving God's people subtly, ostensibly. They're infiltrating the churches, giving lip service to him for appearances. But we must return to our assigned text in Revelation, if you're still there, Revelation 18 and verse 9. So what is happening here? Babylon's fall is lamented from verse 9 to 19. The merchants and shipmasters bewail Babylon's destruction, their craft, as it was in Ephesus, is in jeopardy. You remember in Acts, I believe it's 19, great is Diana of the Ephesians. When Paul came onto the scene, their craft was in jeopardy. Well, that's what is happening here. The merchandise that they are selling. It's in jeopardy. Their evil hopes of vain prosperity has been found out, and they are sickened with the loss and seek a scapegoat to blame. And usually Israel is the scapegoat. They want to... If you ever notice anti-Semitism is on the rise today, it's all over the place. You know why? They hate the God of Israel. So they're taking it out on his people. Even in the United Nations, poor Danny Danon. What a man, that Israel has there. And yet, they're sitting like this. They condemn Israel on every hand. All that was built up by the kings of the earth is suddenly cast to the ground by the stone that smashes it to pieces. As verse 21 indicates, all their grandiose hopes are liquidated and turned to dust. That's what God's going to do with these boys eventually. In 1 hour, it says. I would do it just like that, but God's going to say, okay, maybe they'll turn in 1 hour. It says it three times in verse 10, verse 17, and verse 19, and indicates it is swiftly demolished. He's taking the sword out of the scabbard. He's going to deal with the situation in 1 hour. The trade in souls is brought to an end. Remember I mentioned? At the end of verse 13, the souls of men, it mentions 27 items of merchandise, and then it says the souls of men. Imagine that. Look what's happening today with the abduction of these young girls and selling them off for prostitutes. The souls of men, he's after your soul. They're after your soul. The souls of men. So let this sink into your brain. These markets today, what are they doing? They're trading back and forth, China, Russia, China, U.S. And yet, in these third world countries, not so much in the States, the souls of men are up for barter on the slave market trade. These false ideologies are after your soul. They're not going to get my soul, because my soul is dead and hid with Christ in God. That soul of mine belongs to God. Nobody's going to touch it. Their wickedness has ascended to the throne of the Almighty, and swift judgment has fallen on their corrupt living. What a scene. What a corrupt scene we have today. What a scene. Well, this is too much for spiritual Babylon as they perceive it. They bewail their crushed utopian schemes. They look with wailing remorse at the destruction that has come upon them. Their Babel enterprises has collapsed before their eyes. Their merchandise has sunk. Their markets are destroyed. But they will not repent for their ungodly deeds or acknowledge their living contrary to the God that bought them. The God of this world hath blinded their minds that they cannot see. Like I say, in verses 12 and 13, it lists 28 expensive items that brought them success. Luxury living. There's nothing wrong with having a nice house and living right and living, I wouldn't say affluently, within your means. Luxury has taken over today. It was their priority. But unfaithfulness, sexual immorality, and the like had blinded their eyes to see their lost estate. Their spurious ideologies, ideologies and corrupt living has leveled them to the ground. God's going to flatten the whole business. Heaven's retribution has found them out, and God will deal with the situation in 1 hour. But from verse 20 to verse 24, heaven's voice is heard in the midst of the melee. You think God is silent. His voice is all of a sudden, it's heard. The earth mourns, but heaven exults in Babylon's demise. Such worldly wailing, but heaven's hallelujah resound in triumphant victory. Victory in Jesus, we sing. Where else are you going to get victory? It's victory in Jesus. He's the only one that can help you this morning. Oh, such rejoicing of the saints. Could you see them in heaven rejoicing? They cry, Lord, avenge us! Yes, you have avenged us. The earth dwellers bask deliciously, luxuriously, but heaven's glory is in a new heaven and a new earth. I'm waiting for that day, a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. The world system will weep and mourn over physical and spiritual Babylon, the lewdness and wanton climate they have adopted. In 1 hour will be tumbled down into the abyss, and there will be a furious gnashing of teeth and a lifting up of the fist towards heaven. Have you ever seen that? People just going like this. What are they going to punch, the air? It's inbred within us when things don't go right. That's what they're doing. That's what they're going to do. Their little nest egg has crumbled in the dust. Mighty Babylon falls. God's people escape. Isn't that wonderful? God's people escape. They get out of the mess. Where did they escape? Where are you going to go to escape on this planet? To the very heart and bosom of God. My life is dead and hid with Christ in God. What can touch God when I'm hid in Him? I always like to use that little illustration about a kangaroo. Remember how it has the little joey in its pouch? It's pretty safe and warm in there. Now, that's a dumb illustration, but you get the message. Like, your life is hid with Christ in God. Wherever the mother goes, the little joey is putting his head out of the pouch. Is he worried about anything? What do I have to be worried about? We hear those searing, scorching words, come out of her, my people. Be not partakers with them. Spiritual, culturally driven Babylon has affected the civil and commercial fabric of the age in which we live. Its false doctrines and ways has infiltrated the hearts and minds of many to their destruction. Don't be amongst them. In this revealing portion before us here, we are dealing with, we see the center of all our problems in current society. Many have forsaken the fountain of living waters. If you look at Jeremiah 2:13, there's another verse almost like it. It says, my people have forsaken the fountain of living waters and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They have left God to go their own way like sheep gone astray. Many have forsaken the fountain of living water. It seems that the present evil world has reached its climatic end. Its total corruption has reached heaven's notice. Sometimes I wonder why God just doesn't deal with the thing. It's been 6,000 years this is going on. Why doesn't he deal with it? You look at all the people that are being killed today, these soldiers. You see some of these mothers hugging their little baby, a little plump little baby, and yet they're emaciated themselves. They've poured themselves into that little one, whatever they have. And there's millions of them today. Corruption, destruction in Nigeria, in Sudan and other places. Its total corruption has reached heaven's notice. See how the earth is plunged into mourning by the real spiritual in heavenly world. But the spiritual in heavenly world rejoices to receive the sons of God. It isn't it good to be a son and daughter of God? Aren't you happy this morning? You should be happy, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today. And yet we go a-mourning all the day long. Well, I find that if I can get a good night's sleep, last night, I think I was attacked. Usually when I'm about to sleep or when I'm about to speak in the morning, I always get it. But I was able to come through it. And now I'm able to communicate this with you. Spiritual and heavenly world, there it is. It rejoices to receive the sons of God. So where do we stand today as professing Christians? You say, well, Michael, you know, why don't you leave me alone? I'll think the way I want to. Well, I want to warn you this morning. Judgment is coming upon this planet. And if you say, well, these preachers, all they want is money. They take out their handkerchief and blow their nose. Send me some money or my ministry is going to go defunct. Go defunct. Run them out of town. They want your money. God wants your heart. Ye holy apostles and prophets, remember that God hath avenged you on her. See, God, like he's just waiting and waiting. Maybe my prodigal will come home. Is he coming? But in vain he looks. Ye holy prophets and apostles, remember that God hath avenged you on her. Be on the winning side. For with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. We were made for God, my beloved people, and shall return to God. We are now heirs of the city of God. The city of man has crumbled into oblivion. Why would I want to drink from a polluted sewer when I have the fresh, living water at my hands? I was 4 years old when I came from Italy. I faintly remember that my mother once, she took me with her to the Campania to do their work. And there was a stream there, and I was thirsty. I remember my mother, she cupped her hand in the stream. And, Michele, I was drinking from her hand. Living water, well, maybe not living. To me, it was living and made me alive. I was dying of thirst. Why do I want to go to that polluted cesspool hole when I've got God to go to? The city of God. We're heirs of that city. We're lovingly bought with precious blood, even the blood of God's dear Son, Jesus the Christ. We're sealed for eternity's glory. Remember in John it says, now I think I'd like to quote this, but I want to read this to you. 1 John, here's what it says. It says, let's see if I can get it. Oh, yeah. Chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of love? It's never been seen on land or sea. What manner of superlative love the Father hath bestowed upon us, his dear children, that we should be called the sons of God. Thereby the world knoweth us not. Babylon doesn't know us. And I don't care to know it. I can leave it behind. Because it knew him not. Babylon crucified Christ. And I'm not going to do it today either. What manner of love? It's undescribable. What does the Lord Jesus say in John 15? I have called you friends. Imagine being the friend of God. Says the Lord Jesus, friends of God. God proclaims those searching words. Babylon is fallen, is fallen, is fallen. And lest you fall prey to its seductions, make your escape speedily. Don't look back like Lot's wife. We're inclined to do it. Oh, my furs, my jewels. What do you want your furs and your jewels for when the thing is caving in on you? But we, God's people, need not be fallen from grace also. The writing is on the wall for all to see. Mene, mene, upharsin. It's on the wall. You are weighed in the balances and found wanting. Are we wanting today? What does the Lord Jesus say, at least the prophet Jeremiah? I have loved thee with an everlasting love. With loving kindness have I drawn you to myself. Loving kindness, he pulls us to himself. He says, return to me and be saved. Return to me and be saved is the clarion call today for us to heed. In me only is thy help. God says in Hosea, in me only is thy help. And that is God's final word. We can't get help anywhere else. So, this is my bottom line. May God himself be forever praised today. What a wonderful God we have. He gives us a chance to survive this melee we're in, this cesspool. He says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Where are you going to go for rest? Look at the anguish you're going through. The anxiety that's in your life. Where are you going to go? To the best psychologist in the world, psychiatrist? He can't help you. He needs help. In me is thy help. In me is thy help. May God himself be praised. Praise you, Father, today. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Father, how we thank you for the word of God. It is truth. May our lives be governed by truth. In all things, at any cost, we commit ourselves to your grace, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.